Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B., and I am a recovered compulsive eater living in the steps one day at a time. Today is Friday, June 17th, 2022, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We're at page 10, paragraph 4, which begins with ministers and world religions, and we're reading just the one paragraph today. Today's readers, and thank you everyone for your service. Marie MB for doing the 12 steps, Reggie O for the 12 traditions, Lorraine N text, Carol G, page 164, Jordan L, you're our backup reader today. Noel E will be the newcomer greeter, and Shelley E is doing announcements. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, June 16th, 10 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time, is 19,077, 19,077. And this morning, Friday, June 17th at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, the reference number is 19,081, 19081. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. As OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Marie M.B. to read the 12 steps. Star one, please.
Hello, can I be heard?
Yes, great, thank you.
Great. Good morning, friends. My name is Marie MB, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over compulsive overeating, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry it out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thanks, Marie. And Reggie O., will you please read the 12 traditions?
I will. Thank you so much, and everyone that's here this morning. My name is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in Texas, and these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks, and have a great day, everybody.
And thank you. That was great, Reggie. Let's see how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And in order to hear everyone clearly, please do not use the speaker function on your phone. And actually, I can hear someone in the background, so please, everybody, check that you're muted. Thank you. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 10, paragraph 4, beginning with ministers and world's religions, and ending with my mind snapshot against such a theory. And we're reading just that one paragraph. And so I'm going to ask Lorraine N., please get us started.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. Good morning, everyone on the line. Okay, with ministers and the world's religions, I parted right there. When they talked of a God personal to me, who was love, superhuman strength, and direction, I became irritated and my mind snapped shut against such a theory. Well, that really describes me. I was raised in a big Irish Catholic family, went to Catholic schools right straight through all 12 years through high school. And there was abuse in my home and there was abuse by the nuns from very early on. And I was terrified as a kid and went to food. I mean, food was my go-to from as far back as I can remember. And my mind snapped shut for sure. That fear turned into anger and rage and resentment. And I spent many decades in anger, rage, and resentment. And I had 2 kids by the time I was 19. And it was like me and them against the world. And amazingly enough, I managed to have a career and raise them and all of that, even with all that anger. It probably would have been a whole lot better without it. But I had this information from very early on. I had uncles who were in AA, one in particular, and there was just no place for this information to land in me, none. I was too angry and too blocked for... I just didn't, you know, I bristled if anyone mentioned God. And even though I had that fearful God I was raised with, but that didn't help me. That made everything worse. So all of that, I found my way, or God found my way, to visions right before COVID, probably 2.5-3 years ago now. And my first sponsor talked about God all the time, which made me crazy. And when I would ask her something, she would say, "Did you ask God?" And I'd say, "No, I'm asking you." And she'd say, "Sit and ask God." And one time she asked me to call her back and let her know what God said. So I started that practice of just sitting and getting quiet. And that, for me, was the beginning of even my food falling into place. Once I focused on cultivating a higher power that I believed was loving and that I talked to every day like a friend, she is my best friend. I don't know what God is. I just know I'm not. And yeah, so, you know, little by little, gradually, my heart softened, and some of this information was able to get through. And I hope, you know, some of you who feel the same way out there, just stick around and keep listening and asking God. It sounded too simple, but, you know, God understands my simple mind. And so anyway, I'm going to pass with that. That is what I have to share on that. So thank you for the opportunity, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Lorraine. Thank you for getting us started. So today, now we're going to start taking names for people who would like to share. Press star 1 to unmute your phone so I can hear you give your name and your name and your last initial, please, and your state.
Joyce A. in Colorado.
Thank you. Joyce A., Colorado.
Brenda A., New York.
Thanks, Brenda.
Janice K. in Oregon.
Okay, Janice K., Oregon. Anybody else for the first go-round? Okay, thank you. So we're going to start off Joyce A. from Colorado. You're up, followed by Brenda.
Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I wasn't sure if I'd unmuted myself or remuted myself.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Yes, this paragraph certainly I relate to. I was not as opposed to God and God's concept, I think, as Bill was, but I didn't really have a personal relationship with God, and I thought he was pretty punishing. And I think I got that from watching my mom, who was very spiritual, but married to an alcoholic and always seemed so fragile, like she was on the verge of a breakdown. And I thought, well, if she's so spiritual, why isn't God helping her more? Why is her life so difficult? And so I thought, you know, God was not there for me. And that if I did something wrong, I was going to be punished for it. That was my growing up God. But when I got into program, they said, well, make a job description of what you want God to be. And so I did, you know, job, here's a job available for an available God. And I wanted him to be loving and supportive and communicative. I wanted to know what he really thought and wanted me to do. And that he would be there for me every minute of the day, and that no matter what I did, he would love me. And so I put out that job description in my mind, in my consciousness, in my unconsciousness, and sure enough, that's exactly who applied for the job. I didn't feel especially close to God until more recently, until about the beginning of this year, when I had relapsed because instead of going to God, I went to food. And I thought, okay, there's my problem. I've got to have a better relationship with God. And so I really cultivated that. I prayed over every meal. I prayed in the morning. I prayed at night. I meditated and I sat still and quiet and listened for his direction. And it came very clearly and sometimes with a great deal of sense of humor, which I also appreciated. But now I have this relationship with my higher power, whom I call God, and it's very direct and it's very distinct, and it does help me through every situation that I call on him for, and I call on him for everything. So with that, I think I'll pass, but I so appreciate this meeting and everyone who does service on it. Thank you.
Thanks, Joyce. Next, we have Brenda A. in New York.
Paragraph and page number?
Yes, we're on page 10, paragraph 4.
Good morning.
Hey, Brenda.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for your service. This is Brenda A. in New York, recovering one day at a time by the grace of God. I love this little paragraph. I love the words in this book. And I'm finally at a point. I came to vision at the end of December 2019. I recovered. I, without doing anything, lost 30 pounds in 9 months, and I said, wow, I'm recovered. I have sponsored multiple people, and life was well, and then I relapsed, and I kept blaming it on outside circumstances. I've had a lot of loss in the past couple of years, but the bottom line was the greatest loss for me was not in letting go and letting my higher power into my heart and my soul. I got it intellectually, but my biggest issue was when I heard about OA 40 years ago, I thought it was a organized religion, and I went running for the hills. And because even though I was born into a Jewish family that celebrated holidays and the traditions of being Jewish, we had no religious upbringing. So I adopted none other than Moses as portrayed by Charlton Heston. And I talk about it with some levity because when I look back, he was punishing. He was a punishing God. And I took over. I grew up without any other direction than believing in a punishing God, and it was very, very hard for me to let go. I am finally doing that one day at a time, and I am so grateful because my higher power is kind, loving, and forgiving. And if you're new or if you've been here, keep on doing what you have to do to have the best friendship in your entire life, because without my higher power, I don't have a life worth living, but with my higher power and walking the road to recovery, I know what serenity is, I know what sanity is, and that's what I pray for each and every one of you, including myself. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks, Brenda. Next, we have Janice Kay from Oregon. Star one to unmute,
hi.
Janice.
Okay, hi, this is Janice Kay. Alrighty. I had to go through a process of reconciling with God. My family of origin wanted me to be happy, and they wanted me to be light-spirited, and they never wanted anything to go wrong for me, and they wanted it so badly that they taught me a deep, deep dishonesty about having feelings. I also learned a lot about people-pleasing. Earlier on this page, Bill talks about his grandfather's good-natured contempt of certain church people. Well, the contempt in my family was not good-natured. It was angry. And it was resentful. And I got a very good tutorial in the God of Wrath. When I was 21, I had a personal crisis. And in a fit of absolute teenage angst, I put my head down in my hand and said, oh, God, are you even there? And God said, yes. And I fell into the presence of an eternity that loves me. The thing about the mountaintop is that you don't get to live there. So I had to go back down and live my real life. The thing the mountaintop gave me was that Santa Claus, God, who gives good things to good people, so I have to play like I'm nice. Santa Claus, God, isn't real. The infinity that loves me is real. Punishing, angry, lawyer, judge, policeman, God, is in our culture. It's what I learned on the playground. That one isn't real either. I don't have to keep trying to live up to God's expectations. These things are things that haunt and that come back. Small ideas of God that I had to let go of. And what I try for now is to sit periodically in silence and peace with the eternity that loves me. Because reconciliation with God sometimes means being willing to step off the edge to meet him in flight. Okay. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice. We are now open for new people, for anyone else who wants to share. Star one to unmute, and I'll take your name.
Hi, this is Noel B.
Well, Ronnie B. in Missouri.
All right, I got Noel. I got Ronnie B. Toby.
Tova E.
Tova E.
Annie B.
Okay. Annie?
Yes.
B? All right, Noel, Ronnie, Tova, Annie B. Anybody else today? Right now?
P.
Beth, thank
Beth
you.
Beth P in Hawaii.
Oh, okay.
Debbie P from Indiana.
Debbie P. Okay, we have Noel, Ronnie B, Tova E, Annie B, Beth P, and Debbie P. So when you give your name, Noel, we need your last initial also, but please give your state. Star one to unmute. Noel, your turn.
Hi, Noel E. From Louisiana. I'm gratefully recovered one day at a time. Thank you to everyone who does service on this line, and thank you so much to everybody who shared so far. I just am like, I'm going to definitely reference the reading, but I just have to share with you guys. I am on the drive home from kid drop-off, and this period of time, in my car alone it's hard to think of a more abusive time when I was in the disease. Just leaving school, deciding where to drive through to get my drugs and to binge in the car before I had to go to work and kind of weave through all the lies I'd told the day before. Like, that was such a high binge time for me. And now, I am floating, floating on the wings of my higher power in this time. The ride home from drop-off, God's here. God was here the whole time. But now it is amazing to me what revelations come in this period of time. And that is, that's the miracle of letting my higher power show me the way. And in reference to the reading, every day, like my recovery is a daily reprieve, every day I am shedding the God of my indoctrination, because all that God was shame, a wagging finger, scolding me, having a debit and a credit system, mostly taking away. I was mostly in trouble all the time. And now my higher power has no expectation of me. The only thing my higher power tells me is you know, be in relationship with me. That's the only thing I feel like I'm ever asked of my higher power is keep coming to me, look at me, eyes on me. I'm right here, you know, and that's it. Like, there is no expectation for anything I do in the day except to be in relationship with my loving higher power who has been here the whole time. And that's the truth I get to live in. So I thank you all again. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Noelle. Next, we have Ronnie B.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, good morning, everyone. Ronnie B. in Missouri. Grateful to be here. Wonderful talks and wonderful topics. There can just never be enough topic for me of talking about God and how much I not only need but yet want my higher power in my life every single minute, even when I'm conflicted and I still want my will. And I will say that to God. I'll say, you know, just please remember, I'm just this little tiny, itsy-bitsy grain of sand. I'm not perfect. And really, I'm talking to myself because God doesn't need an update on what I am. And I can have that kind of a jovial relationship with my higher power. But at the end of the day, to remember that it's true. And I do the best I can every day, even when it's not the best I could be doing, because it really is progress, not perfection. The slogans really are true. They're not just these little things we say. And if I had a day where I don't give enough attention to my Creator, and earlier this week, I think it was Monday, I had a real hard time sleeping. I was just exhausted. And I knew I wasn't making the connection. I was trying to put in the legwork. I just couldn't get there. And I want to tell you, when I don't have that connection, I'm not saying perfection, I'm saying connection. When I don't have that, boy, the rest of my day goes downhill. My thinking gets distorted. Certainly it can get distorted about food, but this is just one symptom, right? I get into the negativity. I start thinking about resentments and people that I assume hurt me, and then on purpose. And what good is life anyway? And then silly things like, and God, did you see the stock market? Like, did you close your eyes that night? You know, and then I remember, oh, probably not, because that means nothing to my higher power. Abundance is my higher power. And he's certainly not dependent on that or someone giving me money or me hitting the lottery or, you know, whatever it happens to be. To remember that not only do I have enough of everything, I have much more than enough. And a friend of mine used to say that she got to the point where she knew she was enough. So I just want to remember, this is a disease of, for me, of more. You know, it's an ism for me. I need to, like, stay with my meetings, stay with the people I sponsor, look forward to their phone calls. I have a sponsor, you know. And so anyway, a day at a time, today was a good day for connection. And so I feel that, and perhaps it's coming across, and perhaps it's not, but I know this, it is. So anyway, thank you, everyone. That's it.
Thanks, Ronnie. Next, we have Tova E.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, now we can.
Okay, thank you for everybody putting on the meeting and the great shares. And I love the topic of, you know, what is the kinds of God we have? And, you know, is it a mean God, a nice God? And, you know, I love the comment that, you know, we can intellectually understand that God is there for us, but, like, I really need to come to the meetings every day and hear the shares to help me and to work the steps to, you know, and do the meditation, prayer, et cetera. And these are all great reminders that God has to be in our hearts. And I've had a lot of trouble with my abstinence, good days and bad days. And sometimes I get really frustrated listening to people where everything is perfect and they're all recovered and everything is great, because it's been hard for me. And so sometimes I feel ashamed when I listen to the meetings. I just wanted to get that out there. I really appreciate outreach calls from people that believe in progress, not perfection, because I keep coming back and I'm working my steps with my sponsor, who thankfully is very nice and is not, like, rejecting me because this is hard for me. And I appreciate this opportunity to be reminded that I need to really focus on God is available to help me and to be my friend. And when I'm anxious and having trouble sleeping at night and that autopilot wants to go down to the kitchen, some days I manage it, and last night I did it, and I just, you know, I had a bad night, and I just got on a meeting because I just have to keep going and have to keep learning that, you know, I am like just a little speck of dust, and I need help, and it's okay to be human, and it's okay to keep trying. So I'm Tova E., a compulsive overeater from the Chicago area, and I'm so grateful for everyone who puts this call together and participates every day, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Tova. Annie B., you're up, and if you could give us your state, please.
Hey, let me get off this. Hi, this is Annie B. in Oregon. Thank you for the meeting and for letting me share. I am a recovering compulsive overeater, and I am also in my profession is of the spiritual nature. And I didn't grow up with a relationship with God. And so when I listening to this paragraph, I'm always curious about sponsoring and when I'm sponsoring people and when I talk about higher power and God, how people will react. And this paragraph is kind of one of those like haunting ones. It's like, I don't want to turn people off from OA, and I certainly don't want to misrepresent God. And so when I was 18, I had like an awareness or a spiritual awakening that God existed. And I didn't grow up in the church or in any sort of religious affiliation. And so it was very exciting for me when I was 18 that I was like, oh my gosh, there is a God and he loves me, or they love me. And that was really exciting and inviting. And then I went to seminary and I have a degree and I work in this profession, and I see people talking about their God concept as if it's the only one. And that's like, these are my coworkers and this is me even. And then I come to OA and I hear the God of my understanding and this concept of higher power that's really open and really generous and really curious. And I've grown in my relationship with God in the last 5 months in OA exponentially. And I'm, like I said, like I've this is my profession. I've been trained in preaching and teaching and talking about God and spiritual direction. And here I am growing in OA, learning from all of you about who God is and how expansive God is, this idea that it's a God of our understanding. Like our limited minds can just take a stab at it and can wonder and can be curious about a loving and knowing and generous and powerful God. So my God concept has really grown, and I'm letting, this sounds silly because I can't let God do anything, but I'm letting God be as powerful as God wants to be, because I need that higher power better than my power, which has been so running the show, again, even in my profession. but this God, this powerful God, this God that I've loved for so long, now it's like my silly little brain, my ego, has let God be God, right? And the mystery and the power and the strength that comes with that. And I'm just so grateful for that. So that's my prayer really for all of us, is that we'll just let God be God and let our minds, you know, open to what that might mean for us personally. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Annie B. Next, we have Beth P. from Hawaii.
Hi, thank you. This is Beth P. calling from Hawaii, where it's currently 4:30 in the morning. And I'm grateful to be with you all here. This paragraph really kind of shifted the way I thought of my higher power, God. actually, if I were, you know, when they, it says, when they talked to God personal to me, who was love, superhuman strength, and direction, I became irritated. In my case, when they talked of God that was, that needed to be feared, that I felt judged and shamed for just being human, for being who I was, that I felt like I was always wrong or I had sinned and I needed to ask for forgiveness all the time, or I was being condemned to hell, that was what created my mind to snap shut against such a theory. A God that's pure love, that has power beyond my human power, that I can connect to within a moment, and it starts with a thought for me. And it's just a shift of thinking, a shift of perspective, and really going into a feeling level. You know, for me, it's like it had to travel, my concept of God had to travel from my head to my heart. And now for me, it's more of a feeling in my body. And that's what's made the difference. You know, it's a feeling of peace, of relaxation, of fullness in my heart, of deep, deep gratitude, and being completely present in the moment. And what that does for me in my relationship with food is if I surrender myself to God's loving care and I completely trust in God's loving guidance, it's like I don't have to figure this all out. I don't have to control it. I don't have to control other people. I can completely trust that all I have to do is the next right thing put in front of me, and that the outcome will be better than I could possibly have imagined, because I'm limited in my imagination to my past experience, to what I think is possible, to what's within the box of my belief system. But connected to God, anything's possible. It's unlimited. And that is inspiring. It instills awe and wonder in my heart, and I'm living more and more in a state of fullness of gratitude, which in that case, the desire to overeat falls away because it just doesn't make sense anymore. If I'm to be of maximum service, how am I being of maximum service if I'm sitting in front of the TV binging? So I'm so grateful for this program, and much love to you all. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Beth. Next, we have Debbie P. from Indiana.
Good morning. My name is Debbie P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana. I have loved the shares that I've heard this morning. Everything has been very, very inspiring for me today. And it's helped me to qualify in where I also, you know, I hear the word God and my mind was snapped shut. And it's been through many, many years of being around 12-step programs and people, and people sharing their experiences with their higher powers, that I have been able to slowly get out of that, the damning, shaming, condemning, punishing God concept within myself, and that loving superhuman strength and direction that I would get from, I could get from a higher power that I could create of my own, it was never even an option. You know, I never knew that was something that I had any control over, was to create that God. And I've got a note here underneath this paragraph. It says, God meets us where we're at. And thank goodness, because I just feel like I'm such a baby in where I'm at with my God. And I do know that God's in charge. I do know that God is not me. And I do know that when I let things go, when I ask my higher powers direction and I follow that direction that I get, I know that things work out. They're not necessarily the way I would want them to be, and they're not without pain either. I want everything in life to be even keel for myself as well as anybody else. So, you know, those are my motivations for doing whatever I do, getting my nose into everybody else's business and so forth. But today I try not to do that as much. And I almost instantly know it when I do. And then I can also go back. Thank goodness the program gives me the steps that I can make my amends and continue to do my best every day to follow my higher power's will and not mine. But thank goodness it doesn't have to be perfect either. So I will pass with that. Thanks for listening, and thank you, everyone, for your service.
Thank you. That was Debbie in Indiana. So now I have time for about, maybe two more shares. Two people would like to finish us up today.
Sue S. from New Jersey, please.
Sue S., New Jersey, and one more.
Ken P. from New York.
Kim P. from New York?
No, Candy.
I'm sorry, spell it.
C-A-N-D-Y.
Oh, Candy. Candy P. from New York?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. All right. Sue S., please get us going. Sue S. from New Jersey. Sue, star one to unmute, please. We're not hearing you.
I keep pressing star one, but I hopefully...
There you go.
All right,
well, we got you now.
I'm Sue's S. Thank you. I'm Sue's S. from New Jersey, and apparently Northeast is in the house because I'm followed by a New Yorker. But anyway...
Barbara N., Florida.
And am I still heard? Hello? Hello?
Yes, we still hear you.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yes.
Anyway, I really, oh my goodness, the first speaker was amazing because it brought me back immediately to my childhood where I would be beaten in school and humiliated in grade school. And then I grew up very Orthodox Catholic. And I don't want a Catholic bash today. There, a lot of people get very much from that religion, and I'm glad for them, truly. I'm an interfaith minister. Someone else was talking about being a minister, so I believe that whatever you can get from whatever religion or spirituality, go for it. But I had this punishing God thing going on, too, and when I got in trouble in school, I also got in trouble at home. So it was all about punishment. To this day, when I get a break, I'm like, so this is HP's mercy, you know, because I think I'm going to get clobbered. And I say, so this is what mercy is. And today I really want a closer relationship with higher power. At some point I realized my higher power was female, was a goddess, and that might not be popular in the rooms per se, but as we say, the HP of our understanding, and this is mine. And when I was in the hospital with an appendicitis a year and a half ago, it was total emergency, and I never felt like I was going to die because I felt higher power literally sitting on my heart in a good way. And it so comforted me. And, you know, my friends and family were like, oh, yeah. And I said, no, I know I'm going to be here. I know this is going to work out, and I am going to be here. And I was really sick. So I want that. This first, second, and third step work is so important to me because I want I need my life to be that way. And I'm so grateful to the woman who talked about the job description for higher power. And I love it. I absolutely love it. And all of the other shares today were just beautiful. So I really appreciate this. I'm also homesick. And some of the medications have different forms of sugar. So I'm trying to stay close to my sponsor to make sure I'm not becoming less abstinent because of it. Because I have to take meds. And I have looked at labels like anything. And it's very hard. So anyway, I thank you and have a great day, everyone. Happy weekend.
Thank you, Sue. Bye. And we're gonna end with Candy P in New York. Star one, Candy.
Hi, this is Candy P, and I hope you can hear and understand me. I do have a vocal disorder, so although I've been listening to this meeting for about 2 years, I don't share. But I had to share this morning because I wanted to thank everyone who makes this meeting possible, and I wanted to thank my sponsor for introducing me to Vision and to be able to say to all of you, thank you for the miracle. I'm here and I'm listening to people from all over the country, all over the world. Except for a few of you, I've never spoken to you. I don't know what you look like. But yet I feel so close to you because I'm listening to share after share. And it's me speaking. I've always believed in God. I was raised in a family that professed a belief in God. But once my grandmother passed, the only worship was on holidays, and that worship was mostly around food. So it was very hard for me when I came in to grasp the concept that God could care about what I put in my mouth. But the longer I'm here, the more I understand that God is in all of us, God loves all of us, and God is giving us the strength to accept whatever is, whether we like it, don't like it, whether it's good, whether it's bad. And when I put garbage in my mouth and in my body, it blocks my connection to God. So really, for me, the higher power is the miracle of this program, of all of you, and of everything that happens. I am looking out on the Hudson River and all the beautiful flowers that I planted and everything beautiful in nature. And I know there is a power higher than I am. So thank you so much for letting me share and making this meeting possible. And I pass.
Thank you, Candy. Thank you, everyone who shared today and everyone who did service. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Carol G. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.